This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm Renee Montaigne. The British government today released its own report on the quality of the intelligence used to justify the invasion of Iraq. The report was compiled by a former cabinet secretary, Lord Butler. It was highly critical of British intelligence gathering, findings that closely mirror those of the U.S. Senate Intelligence Committee last Friday.
Language in the dossier may have left readers with the impression that there was fuller and firmer intelligence than was the case. It was a serious weakness that the Joint Intelligence Committee's warnings on the limitation of the intelligence were not made sufficiently clear.
But Lord Butler also said there was no attempt by the government of Prime Minister Tony Blair to distort the threat posed by Saddam Hussein. Glenn Frankel is the Washington Post correspondent in London. Glenn, what were the general conclusions of the Butler report?
Well, the Butler report, as you pointed out, found that a lot of the intelligence, or the important intelligence, used to make the claim that Iraq still had access to chemical and biological weapons, that this stuff was seriously flawed and open to doubt, that there wasn't much in the way of human intelligence, that some of the specifics were wrong, that MI6, the British equivalent of the CIA, has withdrawn much of the statements it made in retrospect. However, at the same time, unlike the Senate report, the Butler report used weaker language, and it did not attempt to single out individuals to any extent, unlike, say, George Tenet, the CIA director, who has now stepped down. The Butler report specifically said that the new head of MI6, John Scarlett, should stay in his job, should get his job. So on the one hand, it was very critical about the process of gathering intelligence. On the other hand, it kind of gave the intelligence services and the government, Tony Blair's government, a clean bill of health in terms of not distorting the material and held it collectively responsible rather than individually so.
Tell us about a couple of the specifics that made headlines: weapons of mass destruction, the 45-minute threat, allegations that Iraq had sought enriched uranium from Niger.
Yeah, the 45-minute claim is one of the most interesting. As you recall, this was made in a September 2002 dossier that the British government published, and that dossier became the basis for claiming Iraq had weapons of mass destruction, and that included this 45-minute claim. But as the Butler report points out, the 45-minute claim only referred to battlefield weapons, you know, mortars and things of that nature, not to missiles, not to medium or long-range missiles. So they really posed no offensive threat at all, and that wasn't clear in the dossier. And the Butler report is at its most critical when it attacks the fact that the information was therefore distorted. Not only that, MI6 apparently now believes that one of the sources of that information was unreliable. So it's really trashed the 45-minute claim. And it said the dossier in general was sort of overstated, that the caveats were left out.
And uranium from Africa, from Niger?
Well, that report, it comes down a little more on the side of the Brits, who have claimed that they had reliable information that Iraq had sought enriched uranium, not that they'd gotten it, not that they'd purchased it. It also said that they weren't relying on the same documents that the CIA had seen and decided and ruled were forgeries. So in that sense, the Butler Commission's come down with the MI6 side of things, and the Niger claim still stands.
Glenn, just very briefly, what has been Prime Minister Blair's response?
He has fully accepted the report. He's saying, yes, we made mistakes. Yes, in hindsight, we went too far in the dossier, and we shouldn't have gotten our own intelligence chief so out front on that publicly. Nonetheless, he's still defending the decision to go to war. He says it's the toughest decision he's had to make as prime minister, but he's standing by it.
Thanks very much. Glenn Frankel is the Washington Post correspondent in London.